Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Hey everyone, welcome to this special episode on Oscar Nominations Day. We just watched the announcement about an hour ago, and I'm so pleased to be joined by two of the greats from Awards Watch, Eric Anderson and Ryan McQuaid. Thanks so much for joining me for your first reactions.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, and good morning to everyone. Good Lord.
Are we happy?
Oh, I'm very happy this morning.
I am awake.
I hear you.
I can't say I would call how I feel happy, but here we are.
I think you and I share a few thoughts about this, and I'm actually going to start with, and we're going to get into some historic moments and snubs and surprises when we run through the categories. But I want to start with a couple films that didn't get a lot of Oscar love this morning, and that's All of Us Strangers, May, December, Origin, and Color Purple. Eric, just quickly, what happened there?
Well, I think ultimately an extremely competitive year, and I don't think anyone can really deny that. If you look at the Best Picture top 10, it's the exact same as the PGA top 10. That's never happened before. And part of that is the inclusion of Anatomy of a Fall in the Zone of Interest, because they are usually the types of movies that don't make it, you know, into PGA and, you know, pop in at Best Picture. But they've been doing well all season long. Something like The Color Purple has been doing terrible at the guilds, and that was reflected today. Honestly, Danielle Brooks is very lucky to have that nomination that she has. For All of Us Strangers, it was on the cusp of a lot of things. I think what we saw, like in adapted screenplay, Pillars of the Flower Moon missed there, and I mean obviously Barbie being in that category changed it a lot, because Zone and All of Us Strangers were sort of working on that last spot there.
Right. Barbie was switched from original to adapted.
Yes.
Throwing everything off kilter.
Yeah, and that kind of shot that down. And for Andrew Scott, he missed BAFTA as well. And so I think him getting into Best Actor became a long shot at this point. So they went with the SAG 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any reflections, Ryan?
Well, I think that a movie like Saltburn that played sporadically throughout the season, well up and down. I mean, it had a decent day at the Globes and a decent day at Critics' Choice, blanked at SAG, had a resurgence at BAFTA. It was sort of an up and down thing for it. And then you look at Origin, there was a late second push. Hello, Frances Fisher. For trying to get that. But that, we talked about this last week on the show over at Awards Watch, that campaign for Origin did not feel as focused as the Riseborough campaign, and felt very late breaking too, even more so than the Riseborough one, that felt like it came on a little quicker and was targeted specifically for a performance that was, you know, specifically targeted for the film, a screenplay, ingenue. That's a lot to then kind of focus in on at the end. And it's also a little bit more of a tougher subject matter from probably these Academy voters to swallow. And you also have to think about this too, is that, you know, a movie like American Fiction is the top priority for Amazon and MGM. So that probably hurts Saltburn's chances, and then you look at Anatomy of a Fall and the success that Neon has had with that, the success that they've had in general with their Palme d'Or winners coming from Cannes.
Less for Venice, really. Very much so.
That kind of hurt. Well, I mean, in terms
of Poor Things and Maestro.
True, true.
Yes, Poor Things and Maestro, but I mean, Killers, Zone, even May December getting the screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall. Like, it did very well, Cannes for itself. But, you know, it wasn't just Origin, it was also Ferrari not getting into sound, not getting in for Penelope Cruz. Mm-hmm. Neon purchased Ferrari at a heavy price, same with Origin, and it didn't work out because the more organic film that we all saw at Telluride and various other film festivals that had the pulse of the people was Anatomy of a Fall, and then it showed in the categories.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we start with some categories here? Will you follow me? If we start with, since you took up Danielle Brooks, Eric, let's do Oscar nominations for Best Supporting Actress. What we had there was Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple, Jodie Foster, Nyad, America Ferrera for Barbie, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. And America Ferrera, very happy about that. That was a lovely inclusion, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think her sort of kind of last minute run over the last few weeks really paid off. She obviously is the focus with the speech at the end, and that, you know, started running circles. It was huge on social media. It just was sort of like, this
the
is
the Critics' Choice speech.
Yeah, it's like this is what I meant her speech in the movie. Yeah, that became the central focus and the theme and everything of what the movie's about. And so, yeah, she was always like a possibility, but it's fascinating that she got in where, you know, others from Barbie missed.
Yeah, Margot. That was a bit
and shocking. Greta.
And Greta. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that one. Anything else that surprised you here? The rest of them I had predicted, and it's the first time for Emily Blunt.
Yes, it is her first.
Yes, it is. A great performance by Emily Blunt.
It's a first and for everyone except for Foster. But...
Nope, it's still very, very good performance.
It's a bad performance, and it's horribly written.
Nope, it's not.
Ryan can hold that flag, and it's absolutely okay.
It's fine. I have seen the movie 7 times, and then it's gotten better on each viewing. And I think that's
cult
very
behavior.
Well. It's very well. No, it's not. I mean, well, cult behavior is watching All the Strangers 4 times in theaters and treating yourself really, really bad because like you want to cry every single time like that. But and go through that ordeal. But I'll tell you this: is that these are great nominations. I will say though, Daniel Brooks was very, very lucky. Like Eric mentioned, to get in here, I almost felt like she was on the line, and America Ferrera getting in. I was not surprised by it. I do think though that there are tons of other supporting acting performances from this year that definitely deserve it. I mean, Penelope Cruz was one. I do think that Rosamund Pike, Julianne Moore for May, yes. December. I mean, obviously everyone on the internet, even though it was never going to happen, Rachel McAdams, something like that. I mean, like it felt weird to see Rachel McAdams do like the surprise SNL, like, you know, pop up. And it's like, why didn't you do that during the voting? But anyway, Ferrera made sense from, I mean, though I was trepidatious about picking her because, well, Eric, yes, she was she's become like the message, and that monologue has become such a big part. There also was a lot of controversy around that too, and interviews and stuff that almost made me not want to pick it. But then there was obviously the speech at Critics' Choice, and there were a lot of targeted specific screenings just for her in both New York and LA. So it does make sense that she got in. I don't necessarily know if for me, I would have nominated her, but I definitely understand why she got
all five.
No, I would want Julianne Moore.
Yeah, Julianne. I'm so disappointed about the trio of May, December not getting into.
Or Juliette Binoche for the taste of things. Like, I would have loved, you know, some of those out of the box picks. You know, these great perform, or Claire Foy for All of Us Strangers, if we're going to also talk about All of Us Strangers there. Like, these are performances that, you know, I don't understand had no traction, or, you know, are very, some are very showy. The other ones are from previous nominees as well, and they didn't connect with the Academy. But yeah, it was weird to see her get in and not Margot and Greta. Right. Let's just say that.
Moving on to supporting actor, we had Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr., Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling, Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. And here I had actually taken Willem and Dominic Sessa, so I had only three.
Me too.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not have Brown. I did not have Ruffalo, because just the way that the trajectory for both Ruffalo and Defoe was just odd.
Yeah. Especially for Ruffalo, because he had another competitor from his film, and Defoe was making sort of a last second sort of, you know, surge into the race. I mean, obviously the performance of the year did not get nominated in Charles Melton. Mm. And I'm forever going to be pissed at the fact that got hope and a lot of, you know, love early in the season, and then just teetered out as the season went on. I was kind of surprised that Dominic Sessa, and honestly the holdovers, didn't do better than it did. But then again, I'm not technically too surprised, because the wave of the BAFTA nominations and the afterglow of that happened, and those announcements happened after the voting period had gone through for the Academy. And yeah, there could be some crossover sometimes, but we saw that in director, and we definitely saw that here in supporting actor, where that did not carry over from BAFTA, and what we kind of expected stayed the same. And Sterling K. Brown getting in, which is a wild nomination. When I saw it at TIFF, I didn't think in my wildest dreams that he would get in, but he did. And so congrats to him.
Any thoughts, Eric?
On supporting actor?
Yeah. Before we move on.
Well, I mean, the only ones that really stayed the course was the triple R's, mm-hmm. you know, Robert Downey Jr., Robert De Niro, and Ryan Gosling. They got everything. They got all the precursors, and they were the only ones to get all the precursors, and they made it all the way through. And that worked out for most people to get all the precursors and make it through. Emily Blunt did, Daniel Brooks, Davine Joy, Randolph did. And then we'll get to actor and actress to see who did and who didn't, because there's only one.
Let's do actor then right away. So that's Bradley Cooper, Maestro, Colman Domingo, Rustin, Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction.
Yes, they went 5 for 5 with SAG here.
Is this like
there was no surprises here, I felt.
No, this was not a surprise, only because I think, you know, DiCaprio started failing and missed the two industry nominations. And I think, you know, a lot of us said, okay, that's enough to drop him. And, you know, the other camp was, well, he's a big enough star, he'll be able to make it in. But nope, they went with the four actors that got all four precursors, and Jeffrey Wright, who got three of the four.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about Leo missing here is, I was telling Eric, mostly last year, if the movie had come out or was ready to come out last year, I would have think that Leo would have maybe stood a better chance. These five performances have been universally loved and considered by all, like you're mentioning, Eric, four, you know, they went four, went and got all the precursors. Wright just missed BAFTA, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And so and Leo was missing BAFTA and SAG, which is huge. But then also there is the growing sentiment about the way in which that character is utilized and presented in that film. And I think it showed with the adapted screenplay miss as well. that there was a pushback from the voters of Killers of the Flower Moon to a certain extent in the way it was adapted and the way in which Leo's character was presented. And considering that they talked about throughout this entire process, Scorsese and everyone, about Leo's involvement in the screenplay and in the turnaround, it makes sense that his hands being on the performance and on that screenplay missing today kind of makes sense in terms of the backlash that has happened behind the scenes, you know, for voters that I've talked to about Killers of the Flower Moon and why they're a little bit lesser on the film than the juggernaut that we expected it to be going into the season.
And he was also so generously supporting Lily during all the, felt like he was really pushing for the Academy to see her in a
felt
way.
More of a producer role than it did an actually like push myself kind of thing. And, which is great because, you know, she deserved her moment in the sun. And obviously Leo's done that, before and had that throughout his career, but it wasn't too shy. I mean, obviously I would have loved to see, Andrew Scott get in here, but I mean, the crap of this season will be how the hell did that performance not even land at BAFTA, you know, and be a performance that we could carry all the way to, you know, all of the strangers co-star like a Paul Mescal and be able to kind of champion that one all the way. And just, I mean, there was a lot of love for Killian and there was a lot of love for Giamatti and I think the sort of underdog narratives were for Wright and for especially for Colman Domingo. I mean, that's a very historic nomination that I'm very happy that he got in.
Yeah, talk about why that's a historic nomination.
Well, Eric, you could speak to it about Colman Domingo.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, sort of building up to these nominations, was the conversation that it's very difficult for an openly gay, openly LGBTQ actor to get nominated for playing a gay role because, and there are many reasons, obviously, there are not that many out actors. You have to align actor and role in a way that is super Oscar friendly. But, you know, straight actors have been able to be nominated and win for playing gay characters for decades and decades. So the last time that it happened in Best Actor was Ian McKellen for Gods and Monsters from 1998. So this year had Colman Domingo and Andrew Scott both as possibilities. So I'm really glad that Domingo got in, because if neither had, it would have been just distressing. So it's historic. It's wonderful. I'm really, really glad that.
And is the same Domingo for Jodie Foster?
This is the first time she's played a lesbian in her career. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Well, we'll look into that.
I'll have to look into it.
I want to ask you, Eric, too, about Bradley Cooper, because this is his 12th nomination. He's directing himself to another nomination.
Speaking of LGBTQ roles.
Yes, speaking of LGBTQ, the other direction. He wants to win, doesn't he?
Well, he's not. So just have 12, he's going to have a dozen nominations. Yeah, but he wants to win desperately, but it ain't happening again this year, Bradley. It feels like this race is between two guys at the moment, and it's between Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer and Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. Now, obviously, SAG and BAFTA can change things, for sure. I mean, at this time, last year, you know, we were in a 3-horse race. It felt like mostly probably a 2-horse race, but some were probably still thinking Colin Farrell could win at this point because we had only seen Critics' Choice and Golden Globe. But it does feel, with the overwhelming support of both of not just Oppenheimer but The Holdovers, that it seems to be those two to be the front runners for that one. So, and then I don't think it's winning adapted screenplay, and it's not winning picture. So, it will feel like Bradley Cooper's got a nice dozen nominations, and he's right there with Paul Thomas Anderson of just having those double digit nominations and no wins, unfortunately.
Oh, he'll keep going.
He'll keep going. Oh, he won't stop. He's never going to stop. And I don't think that that's a problem. I don't think that it's a problem wanting an Oscar. I mean, because I mean,
Oh,
to just say it out loud, they all want the Oscar. Otherwise, they wouldn't go to the events.
so moving on to actress, Annette Bening, the second for Naiad here. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller for An Anatomy of a Fall. Carey Mulligan for Maestro, Emma Stone for Poor Things. So here we have no Margot Robbie, which surprised us all a bit.
Well, not all of us. I predicted this five and got five for five here. And I think the Academy went pretty much with my just reasoning, which is that because I always, when it comes to this category, I just go, well, what's the kind of laziest way that they're usually going to go about this? And it is always the biopic performances that dominate this category. The transfer, you know, the based on a true story. And I felt that as much as Barbie was a big sensation, people had been talking a lot about Gosling. They've been talking about a lot about that screenplay. And then Late Second Surge was a lot about America Ferrera. I did not hear a lot of people talking, even though contrary to what I'm saying here, there were nominations for it. I did not hear a lot of people talking about Margot's performance. And then you factor in at the last second during the voting, the NIAID team does the Telluride tribute in Los Angeles for Academy voters, the medallion, which is a big deal and has been for such a long time to be able to do that presentation. Sandra Hüller wasn't a surprise. Obviously, Stone, Mulligan, and Lily Gladstone, even though she missed at BAFTA, those all felt very, you know, those didn't feel like surprises either. It really did feel like it came down to that one spot, and I, like I said on the show to Eric, I felt that if it was, I felt that it was going to just be Benning, because I didn't think that Foster would be alone, and we had talked enough about that there was the possibility that Margot Robbie would be the one where she got in everywhere and then missed, and then she did. So, yeah, it's unfortunate because I think Robbie's really great in the film. But also too, someone like Greta Lee and then Anjanue Ellis Taylor and other actresses as well missed out on the opportunity to get in. But this I always felt was pretty securely the five. And then when it happened, I still was kind of shocked that it did happen because it doesn't make sense to have all the nominations for Barbie and yet the two, I mean, they did get a nomination as producers. And in screenplay, but to have the director and the main actress, the titular role, not get nominated, is quite surprising.
Yeah, it's what kept it getting double digits.
Yeah,
Right.
it definitely did. Yeah, and also and also too, the rule in original song where it can only get two in, because it definitely would have got the third song in,
I think so.
if the rule wasn't there.
Yeah, I think so. But Diane Warren still would have gotten in.
Oh no,
Yes.
Diane
I
Warren
mean,
is
that's
like a placeholder,
Yeah.
and we'll talk about somebody else
Yeah,
in
we'll
original
talk
score
about
that
that.
feels like a placeholder as
Oh.
well. So yeah.
Lily Gladstone, a historic nomination, first Native American. It's
Yes.
amazing in this category. Sandra Hüller is for both is nominated, or she's nom her, two of her films are nominated in Best Picture,
Yes.
Zone of Interest and Anatomy of Fall. That's a couple of things there. But
Well, Eric
otherwise,
also too, Emma Stone being the second actress to also be nominated for both Best Picture and Best Actress. And the last time that happened was the winner, which was Frances McDormand
All
for
right.
Nomadland.
Yeah. So it's only happened twice ever, and it was only
Really?
3 years
It
ago.
was supposed to happen three times, and it didn't because Margot didn't
It
get in.
was obviously very close to happening, yeah, with Margot Robbie, and that would have been two in a single year, and that would have been pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Let's move on to screenplays. So for original, Justin Trier and Arthur Harari for Anatomy of a Fall, David Hemmingson for The Holdovers, Sammy Birch for May December, Celine Song for Past Lives, and Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer for Maestro. I wasn't surprised by these, but I'm super happy about both Sammy Birch for May December and Celine Song. Otherwise, I had predicted these five. Any surprises for you?
I mean, we were all kind of trying to figure out, is Saltburn going to be the late breaker in here?
Yeah.
Is that going to be the one that upsets it? But no, they didn't seem too surprising, I would say. I mean, I'm so happy that Sammy Birch did get in, and yes, I'm very happy Celine Song got in as well. And then that movie wasn't ignored by the Academy. I mean, when we talk about picture here, I have three films in my top four of the year that are 5-star films, and they're in the best picture lineup. It's an incredibly strong lineup of films, probably the strongest I've in the expanded lineup for sure. There's not a bad movie in here, in my opinion. You know, there's movies that I like a little bit more than others, but not one that I would consider
I agree.
A bad movie. I mean, if Color Purple got in, that was a different story. But you know, all these movies are really great. And yeah, these screenplays, I wasn't surprised by it. I know people were really like already getting upset by the Maestro screenplay, but that made sense. It just made sense getting in. And May December was the only film of all the films in the screenplay lineups to not be nominated for Best Picture. So for
I
that
mean,
to get in,
that's a
it.
bit of a that's a bit of an Oscar tradition that there is a screenplay that is a sole nominee. And yeah, so I had Maestro just outside. I had Saltburn instead. But yeah.
Would have been nice, three women.
Yes, I mean,
Yeah, it would have been.
at least there is across both categories. We did go through that one year that had no women nominated and thankfully bounced back. So,
It's also just nice to have it in the winner categories as well over the last couple of years too. So, you know, because we went a decade plus without a female winner, and we
yeah.
could potentially have at least one, maybe two this year. You know, depending on how the race turns out.
All right, adapted screenplay. We talked a little bit about that. This is where Barbie was pushed into at the kind of last minute. Greta Gerwig, Noah Baumbach for Barbie, Cord Jefferson for American Fiction, Tony McNamara, Poor Things, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest, pushing out Eric Roth and Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, which was quite expected. What did you think about that, Eric?
I mean, yeah, this is where I had predicted All of Us Strangers to only be able to get in here, which was, I know it was a long shot. It didn't make USC. So the only other option if you were going to bump Killers was The Zone of Interest. So this lineup is pretty straightforward. There's really not anything strange about it. What I do love, though, about both of the screenplay categories is how many couples are nominated, because
Yes.
it's quite a bit. Because May
I think
December
there's
is.
four couples in sort of the whole
Well, yeah, May
awesome.
December, Anatomy
Yeah.
of Fall, and Barbie in screenplay. And then when you get to Best Picture, yes, Christopher
Yeah.
Nolan and Emma. So, yeah.
Nice. See, that's how we should be working.
It's kind of cool, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. For sure. No, I love the category. I think it's good. Yeah, I wasn't surprised by, I think this was one thing that BAFTA did kind of show us, is that there was a little bit of fatigue, or just you know, there wasn't as much support for Killers in this category and others. Zone made sense. I do though wish it was All of Us Strangers. I wish it was Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. I wish it was Origin. I mean, those are great films. It again, like you said, Eric, it's such a competitive year. But these movies just kind of made sense. And yeah, when Barbie made that move, it helped May December, but it hurt probably Strange. It definitely hurt Strangers, and it definitely hurt Killers of the Flower Moon. So,
yeah, considering all the talk about the big changes made to the script for Killers, as you were talking about before, I was thinking that that would have turned out differently. But I'm considering what you said, maybe that's a point.
I think that the focus of it being about a lot of the film's criticisms is about focusing on those, you know, De Niro and DiCaprio and the white characters, and not having enough of it focus on Lily Gladstone. Whether you like that or not, it that depends on your enjoyment of the entire film. And I think that in the writer's branch, there was a little bit of a pushback of, you know, it's a very popular book. So probably also, I mean, you factor in that probably people read it and it's different than what they expect. And I talked to critics and I talked to, you know, people that were like, I didn't get the movie that I wanted. And that doesn't mean that it's, you know, technically not great or certain performances aren't good or the movie overall, it would get enough because it was very popular and it's won a lot of critics' top prizes. So it would be people's number one film and could probably get enough votes to get into a Best Picture lineup. But when we're talking about adapting something, and yes, I mean, people, they change the text, but this one felt like, I don't know how much you really can change of this. People just didn't go for it.
Let's move on to cinematography. El Conde, Oppenheimer, Maestro, Killers of the Flower Moon, Poor Things, and yeah, that's it. Sorry. I had Zone of Interest, but I crossed it over. I'm very happy for Hoyte von Hoytema here, and I think it's a pretty good lineup.
What do you guys not surprised? I mean, Ed Lockman. We talked about this, Eric. Ed Lockman, that sneaky devil getting in there.
Well, this is so weird. They went with the ASC 5 for 5, and they never do that. I popped out El Conde for Zone of Interest, which is horrifically robbed here.
It is.
Yes. Yeah, it is. But I was kind of shocked too, because nobody was talking about, outside of the branch, nobody was talking about that movie at all. But Lockman is a guy that's notoriously gotten in with Todd Haynes Pictures. It's a good looking movie. I don't like the movie, but it's a good looking movie. But yeah, I'm so happy for Hoyte and for Killers to get in here too. That's great work.
Are you surprised Prieto got in for Killers and not Barbie, or was that
absolutely not? No, I think it was very much expected. Didn't see a double nom coming either, so it was the in my opinion, the more impressive work is in Killers. He had been kind of hitting everywhere for Killers and not for Barbie. But I mean, this is, Hoyte von Hoytema is going to be a future Oscar winner. So,
yay.
It's a neat category, too, as 3 of the 5 have significant or only black and white cinematography, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Yeah. All right, hair and makeup. Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow. I actually had 5 for 5 here, surprisingly. What's so funny, Ryan?
Golda. The Golda. The Golda. I told you, didn't I, Eric? I said that.
I talked
to members in the branch. And
I listened.
And there were some members of the branch that I know that were like, have you seen Golda? You got to see Golda. Like the makeup in Golda. And I'm like, oh shit, gold is going to be a thing, huh? And I mean, this category has controversies around it because of Golda's makeup and because of Maestro's makeup, and yet it didn't matter because the branch like what they like. And but Society of the Snow getting in, that I think you had that one, right, Eric? You
yeah,
pushed that
had,
in the last
I had,
second.
I had one too. It's the mud.
Yeah, yeah. I had 4 of the 5. I put Bo is Afraid in instead
that's
of Golda.
What
a,
oh, good.
That's
one.
Fun, yeah.
But I think that would have been a good one. The reason why I wasn't as high on Golda is because Maestro's age makeup is so significantly better and more of it. And there's actually a lot in this because Oppenheimer has its horrifically bad old age makeup too.
Oh no.
But the golden makeup is so singular.
Oh.
It's just a single person. And it also looks really, really, really bad. It's sort of like, so you know, like when an old woman wears like a really thick stocking and it starts bunching up at the knee.
Speaking
That's
from
what
experience.
Helen Mirren's face looked like in that makeup. It is horrible
It's
makeup.
really bad.
Oh my God. I love that. There's
So,
the Eric I know. Now you're waking up.
yeah.
Now you got your coffee in you.
Yeah. Now I'm feisty, a little
Now
spicy.
let's No, I mean, I would have loved Beau Is Afraid. That would have been
Yeah,
great.
good
A
one.
great nominee. An outside the box film that I would have totally supported, as opposed to one that we'll probably talk about in some other categories that I'm like, really, we went there.
Oh,
We
good,
went
good,
there.
good.
So
Let's go to costume. Barbie, Killers of the
speaking
Flower
of,
Moon, Oppenheimer, Napoleon, and Poor Things.
get
All
the
right,
hell out of here,
Ryan.
Napoleon. What a bunch of bullshit.
Napoleon came in strong.
Napoleon was riding on that
Stronger than I
horse in for
thought.
three
It
nominations.
got three nominations.
You gotta be kidding me. Like that movie is,
No, it
as
was
my wife
canon.
calls it, that movie's a poop movie. Like that thing shouldn't exist. Like that is it's such a boring movie. And if you want to talk about the technicals of it and that Ridley Scott movies always have great techs, it's like, well, they didn't nominate Gucci and they didn't nominate The Last Duel, which is a much better film and a much better technical film as well too. It felt so lazy. Like everything in Napoleon felt so lazy. So for the branch, for the production design and the costumes and the sound, oh, I mean, maybe not the visual effects, right? It was visual effects, not sound. For those branches to go for it, I was like, what are we doing here? And I had a weird dream last night that some random movie was going to
That
get
you were
in.
Napoleon?
No, it wasn't. No, I wasn't Napoleon, but it was some random movie would get in, and it was Napoleon after all. That was the curveball of the day that I didn't expect coming.
You wasn't such a curveball for you, Eric, seems.
You know, I didn't predict Napoleon or the three nominations it got, which was stupid because you could see it coming. I don't know.
You can always see Napoleon coming.
You gotta have binoculars. He's super
I
small.
was gonna say, yeah, it's kind of hard to see him,
True.
but it's I can't say I'm a fan of its nomination, any of them, especially visual effects, which is like honestly the funniest one. But it happened, so.
But for it to get in over something like Maestro in both costume and production design, because they carried over both of them. Like Mark Bridges, a winner in this category, and production design of Maestro is incredible too. For that to be the film that replaces it, I mean, I thought, okay, maybe it's Zone, or maybe it's another film that we're just not thinking of. And for it to be Napoleon, like, get out of here. It's ridiculous.
All right,
No bueno.
sound.
Oh.
Here I had Ferrari, but that did not make it. We had The
Nope.
Creator, we had Mission Impossible, Maestro, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest.
The creator.
Crazy.
The creator. What the hell? I'm so happy for Zone.
Oh, Johnny Byrne, who I just talked to on my show, so amazing. Incredible work he did here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Probably.
I don't hate the creator's nominations, but this was definitely a little bit on the outside, a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, Zone getting in. I mean, there were three films this year that had great sound, and it was Ferrari,
Not
Oppenheimer,
Ferrari.
and Zone, and Oppenheimer was a kind of a given, but Zone was not, and I was so happy that it got in. I mean, we all saw it at Telluride. We've seen it on the big screen, so that movie is so immersive because of its sound design. And so it's five nominations today. That's actually the best one of their nominations, because that means that they actually watched the film and they liked it enough, because you have to watch that movie and you'll understand the sound design. But yeah, Ferrari Missing was a was kind of a blow, and I'm surprised that this was another place where, like, well, no, Barbie couldn't get into sound, if I'm not mistaken. So it was a place to, yeah, it was, but I was surprised, like, Killers or, you know, one of the bigger titles didn't.
Yeah, no, Barbie was in.
Oh, Barbie was in. I'm sorry.
Was shortlisted.
Was shortlisted? Okay.
A lot of people predicted it because of the musical number, especially.
Yeah. You know.
And I mean, Eric, you wrote before that this is the first couple wins for the Mission Impossible.
First nominations in the entire franchise, yep. First time, and it got two.
Yeah,
Wild for a film that largely
disappointed
was a box office failure.
Yeah,
it's shocking.
It is. I mean, I'm the biggest Mission Impossible fan here, and even I was kind of like, wow, really? This is the one that we're finally gonna. I mean, because Fallout felt like the one that should have. And this one felt, you know, because it was a weak year for visual effects, that's one of those films where it's going to get in. I mean, obviously, like, the John Wick franchise is another one that has not had a nomination yet, and the spectacle keeps rising up for that. So now it takes Mission Impossible's place as the franchise that hasn't gotten a nomination. But for it to get the sound and visual effects, I was pleasant. I was happy about it, but also, like, a little like, okay, this is the seventh film, and we're finally getting to when that series has had such great production design or visual effects or sound work, and it's never happened, but now it does. Yeah, it felt a little weird.
All right, moving on to production design. There we have Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, again, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. And I was shocked that Asteroid City wasn't in here. But
really, it's underperformed. That's what you predicted, right, Eric?
I did, and I just posted as we were talking. This is the first time that costume design and production design have gone 5 for 5 in over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
It has?
They're the exact same lineup. And there's almost always, they're always really similar. It's generally 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5. And then you get one in there that's like, here's a costume designer that, you know, is really, really loved. So they're going to get in there over somebody else. But not this year.
Interesting. Let's move on.
Eric, Eric's right about that. I thought that in 2021, the production design and the costumes crossover, but Cyrano got in there, I believe. So
yeah, that happens all, and it's mostly the costume design that sort of like, oh, okay, we get like a one little tweak, because it's 4 out of 5 quite a bit.
Yeah, that was cinematography and production design that year that crossed over 5 for 5 there with Dune, Nightmare Alley, Power of the Dog, Macbeth, and West Side. So that, yeah, okay. Yeah, which is, but usually they go hand in hand a lot.
Yes, you know, technicals like that definitely do.
Yeah, just like sound and editing, you know.
So. Mm-hmm.
Science, science, science! Science, science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes... Yes!
Woo!
Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
All right, editing. Let's move on to that. So Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Killers of the Flower Moon, making Thelma Schoonmaker the most nominated editor in history, right, Eric?
Yes, I need to get that up there because she was at 9. Yes, yes. So she is now on all by herself.
Yay. And so worth it.
So worth it. A legend.
Eric? This was, I went 5 for 5 on this. This was actually pretty easy.
Yeah, this was a pretty easy category to go for, and I'm so happy for Thelma. You know, winner wise, we all know who's winning this. It's Jen Lame for
you're just living vicariously through these Oppenheimer.
I'm just, wins. I mean, it was a good day. It was a good day. And we all knew it was happening. We all know what's happening in 2 months. So it was, but this is one that's swept and has done really well throughout the season. And I expected to do well at the guilds. And, but yeah, it was great to see, you know, to see both of them in there, for sure.
I had Barbie. I didn't have holdovers, yeah. Just on the power of the musical numbers things, but that was wrong.
No, I mean, like I get the Barbie pick. Holdovers felt like that one film that is of, you know, every year in the cinematography or the editing category, there's a movie that you're like really that got in? Like I always call it the Three Billboards nomination. Where he gets in there and you're like, that got into there, you know, cause like Three Billboards got into what, cinematography, and you're sitting there like scratching your head. So, it's not that it's not deserved. It's just like, there's something like Barbie is a much more intricate edited film. And so you would expect that to get in, but then the Holdovers kind of surprises and gets in. But it wasn't too much of a surprise, but, it just kind of felt expected by the branch.
All right, visual effects. The Creator, Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy, Mission Impossible, and Napoleon again.
I mean, silly. Yeah, we can laugh at Napoleon, you know, blowing up the pyramids because it's so horrible.
It's
we can kind of be shocked by Mission Impossible's inclusion here over other things, but I think nothing matters other than Godzilla Minus One getting
yes
in.
That's so great.
It's one of the best so nominations great. Of the day, also mm-hmm. huge historical
first time
for that franchise or for that
yeah
in that property yeah
ever and there are hundreds of Godzilla films over decades and decades and decades.
Yeah, Eric was a big proponent of the Matthew Broderick version many years ago.
I like that version.
I knew you were going to say that you Broderick. Did.
That one's really funny.
No, it's.
They have a Siskel and Ebert in that movie, and it's fucking hilarious.
But I was, and it's also it's done on like a fraction of all these movies' budgets too. It's done on a $15 million budget, and it's horrifying and terrifying, actually. Like Godzilla Minus One, great companion piece to Oppenheimer, no it joke is. But also too, when we talk about Mission Impossible going forward, it's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, take out the part one. They just had to update that, so it's no longer part one. I think it's silly and stupid, but I have the Blu-ray that says that it will always be a part one.
It's kind of weird
also too, like it's such a when Oppenheimer got kicked out of the category on the long list or short list, I mean, it was kind of interesting that like where this category would go. And I think a lot of people, including myself, predicted maybe this would possibly be a place that Poor Things could pick up a nomination and potentially a win. There is a lot of, you know, special effects in that film, and it didn't pick that up. So that was another place where I was like, okay, well they'll go for Napoleon but not Poor Things. Okay.
And I was thinking Society of the Snow yeah, would have a good chance.
That could have been a good one. Yeah, but nope, we had to have those you know, they were impressed by those boats
pyramids? I mean,
yeah, I think you're so good because you have boats, you know.
All right, best animated feature, The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, and Robot Dreams, throwing out Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I thought had a chance, but...
I went 5 for 5 on this. Yes.
I went 4 for 5.
Four for five, too.
I didn't have...
I was a little surprised, actually. I did not have a lot of faith, but here we are.
What was the one that you didn't have faith in?
No, Robot Dreams.
Yeah,
That was my fifth spot. So it was like,
Nimona was the one for me that I didn't have in. I felt that.
Yeah, that was at number three for me.
That was like, it kind of was like, I don't know. I haven't, again, it was like word of mouth and buzz. And I know Netflix can push a film really good in it, but I just, Mutant Ninja Turtles, I got in the PGA nomination. I kind of just went with the PGA 5 there. I still got 4 out of 5, but I'm really hoping, as much as I love Spider-Man, I'm really hoping for a Miyazaki upset. I would love that. That would make my night. Boy and the Heron is, I love that movie. But I also love Spider-Man. So either one of those would be a fantastic winner in that category. And you know what? Pixar, congratulations. That movie, I have to say about Elemental, it's not one of my favorites of the year, but that is the persistence of a movie having box office legs and becoming a sleeper hit for a big sleeper hit for Pixar, and then them landing in the categories. You know, it's the nomination here is a big win, because when it first came out, there was like, it's not getting nominated, and this, you know, all this mm-hmm. different stuff. And so I'm happy for them as well. And Robot Dreams.
All right. Documentary feature film. Here was some surprises for me. Bobby Wine,
surprises.
The People's
huge.
Yes. Let's get Bobby Wine, the People's President, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol. This was
I got 3 of 5 of this, because I'm Bobby Wine makes sense. It was the International Documentary Association winner. To Kill a Tiger was definitely really low on my list, so I was a little surprised. Not surprised by the Michael J. Fox movie getting snubbed. Anybody should have been able to call that, instead of letting, you know, the stardom factor kind of blind them on it.
Mm-hmm.
But American Symphony missing here? How did that happen?
Well, it had to be. Beyond Utopia is such an incredible movie.
Yeah. And Beyond Utopia.
I mean,
that was the big one for me. I was shocked by that. I'm okay with American Symphony missing. That's fine. Wasn't a big fan.
As a prediction, though, it's
as a shocking. Prediction, it was on number one. Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
It means Netflix doesn't have a contender here, and that's. Really
well, and I thought 32 sound. I thought 32 sounds was going to get in last second, but I did say, I will say this. I know I joked about this on the Awards Watch podcast, but I was the one to bring up To Kill a Tiger, because I kept saying, "Damn, that thing is all over my Facebook ads and Instagram and everywhere." Like, they targeted everywhere. It was everywhere. So like, it wasn't. I wasn't too surprised by that, Bobby. Bobby Wine, is it right? Eric, you mentioned that on the show as possibly a dark horse possibility. Four Daughters, you know, I had that in, but and then 20 Days of Mariupol, which just feels like now it's gonna possibly be the winner. It definitely is. But I'm not surprised by I'm never surprised by this branch. For the personal celebrity documentaries, the last couple of years it's lined up perfectly for those. You can never, just once you get comfortable with the documentary branch, they go, nope, we're not doing that anymore. And I think, the Michael J. Fox thing was clear after it won its Emmy and stuff, there was going to probably be like one of those, like, well, does it fit the rules? And then American Symphony not getting in was honestly not as surprising as I should have not predicted, but I did, because it was hard not to. It was getting it was in everywhere. So just a weird category.
All right, original song. What Was I Made For? And I'm Just Ken, both from Barbie. The Fire Inside. Here we have Diane Warren's placeholder. It Never Went Away, John Batiste from American Symphony, which was snubbed in documentary. And from Killers of the Flower Moon. For some reason, what the name of the song has fallen off here. Do you guys?
I think it's Wakaji. I think that's what it is. Don't quote me on that.
A Song for My People.
A Song for My People.
Which was that kind was... of... That was predicted from, I had four here because I was thinking Lenny Kravitz would get in for Road to Freedom and Rescue.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a surprise snub for me.
Lenny was everywhere, man.
Yeah. Lenny was everywhere. Lenny.
Lenny's awesome.
A whole lot of Lenny.
I was shocked that Lenny didn't. I went out on a limb and did not predict I'm Just Kin to get in. I predicted
loser.
What?
I predicted the Hunger Games song to get in because of the Olivia Rodrigo factor. It had won
loser behavior
at one of the songwriters, right, and song lyricists awards, and I was like, well, that seems like the potential spoiler, but the Killers of the Flower Moon song, I was kind of right that one of these top five films or songs were not going to get in. I didn't expect it also to include Lenny Kravitz, but yeah, the Killers song getting in was kind of interesting. But again, if the rule didn't exist, Dua Lipa would have been in, right, not even close.
Three songs,
so there would have been three.
Yeah, I think it would have been two. Yeah, I went four out of five here. Obviously, the Road to Freedom was a big miss, but I did have the song for my people at number six because it just felt like, oh, okay, I could, yeah, this feels right.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here. Do not think Gosling will perform that.
I don't think he will either.
No, I don't think either. But someone will.
Yeah, somebody will.
Bradley Cooper is good to go.
Oh my gosh. Okay. It'll be quite a moment though, the performance of the Killers.
It'll
song.
Be the thing that
oh,
kicks.
It will.
The Killers will be and then we'll all go, why isn't that winning? It'll be, cuz it'll be the one that makes Chris Pine cry in the room.
Oh my god.
All right, score. Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Indiana Jones, and American Fiction, which surprised me. I was thinking Mika Levy for the Zone of Interest, but
I was thinking Daniel Pemberton, who was at every damn party.
That's the real snub here, is Spider-Man.
Yes. Spider-Man and the Boy and the Heron, but that was never going to happen.
Spider-Man's the real snub.
No,
I saw a lot of people predicting American Fiction, so its inclusion here isn't a huge surprise, but it Indiana Jones, my god.
But it does give off like Rise of Skywalker vibes of like they're just going to nominate John Williams for everything and anything until he stops making music. He's very Diane Warren.
He usually gets something on the way to this part. And that did not happen for this.
No, but I remember even with Fablemans last year, people were like, is he vulnerable? Is he going to get in or he's not? And he still got in. So he's just right in marker John Williams if he does something just like Diane Warren,
Yeah, but like I just said, Diane Warren got the precursors that she needed to from the groups that she needed to that are actual members of the Academy, and
but
Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny got absolutely nothing. So
but like is, I said, this is John
just
Williams.
A name check.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. That's the point. It's John Williams. He's got how many 9,000 nominations now?
This is his 49th in this 40. Category.
Jesus Christ.
Well, Ludwig will get his second Oscar anyway.
Breath of fresh air.
I'm kind of surprised. I had actually predicted Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse both here and in visual effects, and
me too.
Either of those.
I am happy to say that Eric and I were on that train of all those people early in the year just being like overly like Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is going to get everywhere. And we were like, it's not going to happen. And it honestly went the same route as Pinocchio. Mm. It went the same way, and that's what I said it was going to happen, and it did. So for all everybody out there,
no one
say I told you so.
To you, Ryan.
I'm just saying. I mean, if they would have, then they would have better predictions.
All right, international feature: Io Capitano, Perfect Days, Crazy. Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and The Zone of Interest.
That was poor tasty things.
Poor tasty things.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's them. That's them.
They
not
should have taken Anatomy of a Fall.
I was going to say, I'm just saying they really look stupid this morning. The French. Got to say that. But yeah, I mean, I was surprised 20 Days in Maripol didn't get in here. They over the last couple of years, it's felt like those two brands, like the, you know, the documentary winner or one of those films for the nominees have crossed over. And so I was surprised that that didn't make it in. That was one of the big shockers, I think, of this category.
I'm so happy about The Teacher's Lounge. I think it's such a fantastic little movie.
It's a good movie.
That it made it
yeah, it
here.
Is.
And of course, The Zone of Interest. The Teacher's Lounge is a good little pairing with Monster, too.
Ooh.
I was thinking about that the other day.
I mean, I saw those quite in conjunction with each other, and it was really interesting because... But I was surprised. I had this little feeling that Fallen Leaves was surging towards the end, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, but they went with Perfect Days, which is
well. I mean, it's you know they went choice.
Monster.
They went,
me too.
They went 4 out of 5. You know, Eurocentric again.
I would have preferred The Boy and the Heron. You know, they picked that, but they picked the one where the guy's cleaning toilets. So I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, speaking of the Wenders. Movies that were eligible. Yes. I'm actually a little surprised that Io Capitano made it, honestly. Yeah. Italy and France have both really kind of faltered here in this category in the last few years, where they were, you know, the top two for 55 years. But again, nothing from Latin America, South America, Africa.
It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
They've got to really have like an overhaul in this voting or something or whatnot.
They do it every 10 years and it doesn't
change.
Really do much.
Nope.
All right. Before we get into the big best picture, let's run through the shorts, which I'm going to get into those now that the nominations are out, but let me know if there's anything you think was surprising here. In documentary, The ABCs of Book Banning, was it? The Barber of Little Rock, Islands in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nai Nai Waipo. Anything?
Nope. Nothing surprising there.
I got three if I'm here. I was surprised that Deciding Vote did not make it. Very topical and timely.
Animated short, Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pachyderm, and War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
I think that's going to be the winner.
Mm-hmm. I think I got 3 of 5 here as well. That's pretty commonplace, though.
Yeah, if you get three of five in the like shorts, really like you're
that's
like
good.
You're an expert. I don't even bother with the shorts. I just leave that to
no,
Eric.
I'm going to get into those now. But just to continue there, the live action short, the last one, The After, Invincible, Knight of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar, which is, of course, Wes Anderson.
Mm-hmm. I have 4 of 5 here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Invincible is the only one I didn't get.
See, that's why you're awards watch.
Well, I also did not take the bait that Strange Way of Life was even anywhere close to getting in here.
That's the Almodovar movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Best Picture, the nominations for this year, which I agree with Ryan, is an incredible bunch of movies. Yeah, I'm not disappointed at all. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest, which I think we all had predicted. Any comments, any snubs, anything for this lineup of 10 this year?
If there was a snub, it was May December. Because then it would have made this a perfect lineup, and we could take something, I guess, like American Fiction or I don't know, Poor Things, I guess. I don't know what to take out. That's the problem. It's like they're all really good movies. They're all movies I like. You know, again, I had Zone of Interest, Past Lives, and Oppenheimer are 5-star movies for me. And Maestro, Holdovers, Barbie, Anatomy of a Fall, they're all ranked high for me. And then like Poor Things and American Fiction are a little bit lower, but they're not like bad grades. Like this is, I could not have asked for a better lineup, but I know that it's weird. We were all trying to figure out the last couple of days, what's the movie that's going to miss? Cause it's 9 out of 10. It's usually 9 out of 10 in the PGA. And they were like, no, we're just going to make this as simple as possible. We're going to have 10 movies and that's the movies. And I mean, it's not fun for predicting wise, but when you look at the season and how it's played out, these have been the 10 movies that everyone has, sort of gravitated towards. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple like The Color Purple had, like, you know, was on and off, or Saltburn, or All the Strangers, or May December, but they never had uniformity around those films at every single place like the other ones did. So I think it's a great lineup. And we'll see how the PGA and SAG and BAFTA play out. But, I feel good about my prediction early in the year, and I'm still with it. And based off of the showing today, it seems that we have a clear front runner, and we still have a little bit of an identity crisis to figure out what is the film in second.
Mm-hmm. Eric, your thoughts on the final 10?
I think it is a great lineup. I think there isn't a bad film in the bunch. It's impressive that the PGA 10 and Best Picture 10 have lined up for the first time ever. But I think, as we mentioned before, generally films like Anatomy of a Fall and The Zone of Interest don't show up at PGA. This is where they show up. So PGA kind of got the jump on Oscar voters, and this alignment, I think, just makes a lot of sense. It's also the first time in history that we have three Best Picture nominees directed by women, and that is undeniable.
Yes.
It's awesome.
So it's fantastic.
We should have had a Greta Gerwig in there. Oh.
Well, we didn't talk about
director.
We didn't talk. No, we didn't talk about it.
We haven't done director.
I was going to bring it up.
You should have brought it up. I have all my notes here.
Well, Christina, before we do director, what did you think of the lineup?
Oh, I think it's amazing. I would have liked to see May December in there, but I'm so. I think it's one of the best years I've had in ages. I think all of these are, you know, four or above. Some of them are real masterpieces. I think it's just a really fun year in cinema from, you know, Barbenheimer and forward, and some big contrast with something like Zone of Interest. So I'm very, very happy about that. But let's do director, of course. Let's save that for the big one. And I don't know, could someone read those for me? Because I don't know what happened.
Sure. The nominees were Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall. It was Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon. And Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things.
And here's the biggest for me snub of the night, that Greta didn't get in here.
It is a snub. It was expected, at least on my end of things. I kept going back and forth, and finally post podcast I told Sophia, and I think I told Eric, I was like, I don't think she's gonna get in. I think it'll be Justine Triet. And I went back to my original predictions, which was I thought Alexander Payne, which I kind of got bullied into, it felt like, and duped. And I always thought it was going to be, I always had a feeling about Yorgos, but because Poor Things seemed like a better across the board contender, but the damn BAFTA, right at the last second, I was like, well, is that a sign? And it wasn't. It was not at all. They lied. And Marty getting in, I was worried about that too. I was worried because BAFTA had snubbed Gerwig and had snubbed Scorsese, that it was like, okay, well, one of them's missing. And it shows that these populist films, these more audience, you know, because yes, Oppenheimer is a populist film, but it's also more Academy friendly, more, you know, I think they're both directorial achievements. There's no getting around that. But it also has shown that I was worried about Barbie from being a genre being from a comedy. It is a comedy. And this branch went with more directorial achievements like Anatomy of a Fall and definitely The Zone of Interest. And so, yeah, it is disappointing for sure, but not entirely surprising.
Yeah, we can't have too many women in this category.
And that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, we got to have a bunch of dudes and there's only one spot.
We have to all, I mean, I love Anatomy of Fall. I think it's great that she's in, but now are we all supposed to be so happy about that one's in there? What is she, like, only the eighth female director in history to get into this category? Come on, people.
Ninth, I think.
Oh, ninth. Okay.
Anyway, but I think, that doesn't make it better. Ninth total. Total. No. Yeah, Jane Campion got into Vice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also,
I just
too,
think what Greta Gerwig pulled off was not only a feat of the movie in general, but also in terms of this year in Hollywood and all, you know, everything that Hollywood and film and culture and everything that we're going through, what she managed to pull off and getting all audiences into her movie. Everyone has gone to see this movie. I just think that was so worth commending her also as a director for this film. So I'm really disappointed about that.
No, I mean, it takes a global pandemic for only two women to be nominated for best director, it seems like. And in normal years, that's not the case. And it's obviously, I think I was always saying that I thought that Gerwig could get in because it is, again, it's so undeniable. And I always felt that Justine Triet was like, that's a screenplay and a picture and obviously Sandra Hüller, but the Branch sees it differently. And yeah, it's a Branch that they like certain things and the international stat has continued. I mean, three international directors in this year. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And we had our predictions episode and one of our contributors, Kevin Lee, was saying, you know, I don't know if Glazer or Triet or if they're all going to get in. Well, they all got in, you know what I mean? And it just shows that those are also really great movies too. Somebody big was going to miss. I mean, Payne hadn't missed at all. And we kind of expected that from the DGA, but then he got in at BAFTA. And we're like, well, what does that mean? So
his first BAFTA nomination.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like is that a telltale sign as well? And it wasn't. So it was really interesting. And yeah, it'll feel weird not having Greta Gerwig in this category. It does, because it almost just feels weird that Oppenheimer landed its director and its lead actor nomination and Barbie didn't. You know?
Eric, your thoughts on director?
It's a good lineup. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great lineup. These are, yeah. I don't know how you ever would have thought like Scorsese would have missed here, even with other places that it didn't hit. I don't think this was ever a place that he was going to miss. I love that Glazer and Chia are both here. I do wish Gerwig was here. There's such a monumental level to it that's, you know, kind of was, it's like what Avatar was like, even though that came post Titanic. It was just this concept of something that was such a singular focus effort. You connect the movie with the director and its success. They're inextricable from each other. And so I think it's a little bit of surprise in that. I'm just not a big fan of the madman meme. You know, that's what the money's for. I don't think that's exactly quite fair. It certainly isn't the case for men. But I do like the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, the lineup, like, again, these movies are great. And what reminded me that I had forgotten this incredible category was that we do have three women directors in Best Picture, which is a historic thing. And Greta's there. And so that's small steps, right?
I guess.
I think you can't, I mean, there will be this growing, you know, there already is frustration online about Gerwig not getting in. I mean, Celine Song also didn't happen. Bradley Cooper didn't get in. Alexander Payne didn't get in. You know, there were at times people thought, well, as you know, is someone like Court Jefferson an outside chance early in this race? So there were a lot of directors that didn't get in. I mean, there were, well,
Ryan, but as Eric was saying, it's such a monumental feat with Barbie. And
well,
and
I get it, but again, these type of genre films that are not Academy friendly, they are at least consistent. The last couple of years, like Avatar didn't get in last year, and Top Gun Maverick, you know, didn't get in. And a bunch of people predicted that until the end of times. Even when it missed, people were still like, this is how Top Gun Maverick can win. And that wasn't Denis Villeneuve missing for Dune. Mm-hmm. Like these genre films have been shown by this new, you know, director's branch to miss out. It is unfortunate that Greta Gerwig is the one that is the one to miss this year. But they sadly have been consistent with that over the last couple of years. And it is, I think, something where something populist like Barbie missing here is honestly, you know, at the benefit of something like Anatomy of a Fall and Zone of Interest. And so while those films, like in past years, wouldn't get in, and something like Barbie would, the times have changed, I think it reflects also that a movie like Oppenheimer can get in here, and it's a populist film and it made a ton of money, but it is directed by a man, and a woman makes another passion project and puts her whole heart and soul into it, and she's snubbed, and so they make the excuses. So I also think just because of the heavy year that it was, somebody was going to miss. And like Eric said, it wasn't going to be Martin Scorsese. And she's missed here before. Like a lot of people thought she was going to late surge in for Little Women. And so, it sucks because I love Greta Gerwig, and she's been such a champion, not just for her own film, but for cinema. I mean, what she did at AFI curating those films, nobody else did that. And I think that, you know, she's going to walk home with an Oscar still, and that movie will walk home with a couple. And but it's telling and sad that she's not in. But again, sadly, not too surprising.
One last stat. Yes, so Marty is the oldest director ever nominated, correct, Eric, at 81?
Yes, and now has 10 nominations, so he's the oldest living director with the most.
Yeah. Amazing. And if he makes another movie, it'll be probably the oldest, and however old he is then.
Yeah,
you know. Martin Scorsese, you know.
Yeah, there were a lot of fun, cool stats today.
Yeah,
there were. Before I let you go, Eric, based on the nominations and everything that happened, what are you looking out for these coming months in your coverage?
Well, I think Ryan alluded to what would the number two film be in this race if anything is going to take down Oppenheimer. And, you know, The Holdovers was clearly positioned to do that. Payne's miss in directing is certainly a red flag there. But I don't know. I think we're sort of going to just be watching a march to victory for Oppenheimer and for a handful of categories. I do think Best Actor is going to be a really fun race to watch. Supporting Actor is pretty...
Killian and...
pretty locked.
Paul. Right.
Yeah. Supporting Actress is pretty locked. I think there's some room in Best Actress between... Mm-hmm. Stone and Gladstone.
Sandra Huller.
Maybe. I'm not so sure, but maybe.
Maybe.
But yeah, I think there's room to play there. And then I think you just again alluded to possibly Greta Gerwig being able to win adapted screenplay for Barbie. I think that could very well happen too. So we're just gonna kind of see how it plays.
Ryan, you're looking out for anything special after today?
I don't want to count, my chickens before they hatch, but I do think that as of right now, it feels like Oppenheimer is walking in on the night with 5 wins under its belt. And so over the next couple of weeks, it will be interesting to see how much that number increases, because I think
You're
it's
just
walking in.
shooting pyramids here, I'll tell
It's
you that.
walking in with director, cinematography, sound, editing, and score. Nobody can argue that. So what does it walk in? I mean, and Eric's like, it seems like supporting actors pretty locked up, so that's six. Do people vote down the ballot and give it adapted screenplay? Does Cillian Murphy win? And of course, does it not stumble all the way to picture? That would be nine. That would be more than last year. So, and
Yeah,
that's very
there's a pretty good
unprecedented.
chance that it'll shoot
Eclipse.
past last year's
Yeah. And
numbers.
so, but is there enough time for something to possibly come behind? Is there backlash for Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie not getting nominated? Does SAG Ensemble play a bigger factor into that? Obviously, BAFTA won't, because it's not nominated for Best Film at BAFTA, and BAFTAs were a little bit lesser on what do you call it? On Barbie. And so it won't maybe have that contingent of the vote, but does the SAG vote carry it over? What happens at PGA? Does Oppie just win over at PGA, and is it a foregone conclusion? Does it upset at SAG? Does something other than Barbie or Oppenheimer win SAG Ensemble? Because we've seen that happen before in like La La Land and Moonlight, something like Hidden Figures wins, or Trial of Chicago 7 wins, but that doesn't mean it goes on to win Best Picture. So it'll be very interesting to see those things. I think actress is a three. I think it is. I think there's three actresses that can win that category, and I do think Sandra Hüller is one. I think that movie overperformed and has done really well, and I think that she has a good chance to win BAFTA because Lily Gladstone's not there. Obviously, Emma Stone's there as well. SAG could go Lily Gladstone. And then you've kind of have this open race, which would be once again another chaotic best actress race. And then yeah, I think an actor is between Paul and Killian. I would also, if I would keep an eye out an original screenplay. I know everyone thinks it's a foregone conclusion that The Holdovers is going to win that category, but I would not put it past that it's going to be that easy of a run for it. And then, yeah, adapted screenplay seems open. And then I think it's because Spider-Verse is underperformed here at the Academy, it's still a little bit of a race between it and The Boy and the Heron. So don't just, sequels have not done particularly well in an animated feature. So, we could want to award Miyazaki one last time. So yeah, there's something to keep in mind. And yeah, and then in visual effects, good luck picking that one. That's a weird one. So
Well, I always
and
have such
I
a
think we
go
might
ahead.
see Wes Anderson finally win.
Oh, that's true. That could
That should probably happen.
If that doesn't happen, like what are we doing? Like
I
it's
mean,
about time to Wes for Wes to win. So another person that has
and we're talking
Like,
about shorts here, of
yeah,
course.
we're talking
Yeah.
about a live action short for Henry
Short.
Sugar. It would be the, yeah, it would, how many nominations does Wes Anderson have? Like
Eight.
double eight. So it would be his time. Otherwise it's, back to the drawing board.
Well, I always have such a good time talking to you guys, and I look forward to talking to you again about what's going to happen these coming 2 months. Where can everyone read everything and listen to interviews and all that? Ryan?
At awardswatch.com.
Yeah,
Come on
and
over.
come on over. We've got we've got interviews, we've got reviews, we have our two podcasts, the Awards Watch podcast, Director Watch as well, newsletter. You can sign up for it over at awardswatch.com. Yeah, just always a lot of stuff to be doing, and there's going to be a ton of guild stuff coming up and everything. So yeah, it's still busy times over at
So much
AEW.
great stuff, but really want to say Don't miss the Director Watch podcast, which is so
yeah.
Good. All right, guys, thank you so much. And until next time, bye.
Bye.
My name is Cindy Burnett, and each week I interview at least two traditionally published authors on my podcast, Thoughts from a Page. We talk spoiler-free about their books, so you can listen whether you have read the book or not. And then we delve into things that you most likely won't hear about anywhere else. The importance of the cover design, why they included various aspects of the story, personal details about both the books and the authors' lives, and so much more. You can find the podcast on every major platform and learn more about it on my website, thoughtsfromapage.com. Thanks so much for checking it out.